You're listening to Stateside from Michigan Radio. I'm Cynthia Canty.
The United Nations considers a war stopped even more important than a war won.
If our cities go down, in my opinion, our nation will go down.
You have to think about your dream and what you want to do.
All we were trying to do was just get music for all people.
Beards and baseball mixed with roller coasters and religion. That could be a nutshell description of a West Michigan religious society called the House of David. It's Wednesday, which means it's time to talk our state's history. Here with us now from the Michigan History Center, hello to Rachel Clark. Hey, Rachel.
Hi.
Rachel, when you research House of David, you find a list of beliefs that include abstinence, a vegetarian diet, no alcohol or tobacco, and that killing for any reason is a sin. So let's start at the very top. Just what is the House of David?
The House of David was and is a religious society that has its beginnings, for the most part, in 1903 in Fostoria, Ohio. It was started by a couple named Benjamin and Mary Purnell. And so they had a belief system that sort of goes with the Book of Revelations, that the end of days is coming, and therefore you should live your life as cleanly and well as possible so that when the end comes, you are prepared.
Fair enough. How did they get to Michigan?
They eventually just moved to Benton Harbor. Apparently, Mary had a vision that Benton Harbor was the place where they needed to be, and they'd never heard of it before, they had stated. So they ended up in Benton Harbor, Michigan, and quickly wound up with quite a few followers.
And they had to leave Fostoria kind of in a cloud, correct? Having to do with the death of one of their children?
It was a little bit. They had a child, a daughter, who died apparently in a fireworks factory explosion, and they refused to go to her funeral. One of the beliefs is that the living should not have anything to do with the dead. So they refused to go to her funeral, and the community thought that that was absolutely horrific. So they encouraged them to leave.
Got it. Read between the lines. So they wind up in Benton Harbor. How long did it take for the group kind of to take root and grow in Michigan?
It was actually very fast. So by 1904, they're in Michigan. And by the teens, they have quite a following. And then they start to really sort of embrace the community and reach out to the community. And that's when you start to see some of the groups, the baseball team, and eventually the amusement park and bands. So it's pretty fast. You have people who believe that if the end of the world is coming, they need to be part of the group that's going to be saved.
Yeah, let's talk a little bit more about this colony that the House of David had. You touched on this. So this wasn't just some living quarters and a chapel. Tell us more about what they had.
It was a full community. They had hundreds and hundreds, if not more, of acres of land that they farmed. They had their own lumber mill. They had their own machine shop, hospital, bakeries, shops. They really were a self-sufficient community. They also had land up on an island in Lake Michigan where they also farmed, and they actually lumbered or timbered that land to make some money. So they were very self-sufficient, and it was quite large.
I think I remember hearing they even had their own electricity plant. That
Yes.
is extremely self-sufficient. And where did the baseball come in?
Part of their role, they felt their role in society was to get out and to spread the word. And they also were kind of fun. I mean, people who remember them said that they were really nice people and they were fun. So they started a baseball team. One of Purnell's beliefs was that salvation comes through exercise, physical activity, and it helps your spiritual discipline. So baseball just sort of fit with the times. And so they started a team and they were quite good. They competed with semi-pro and stories are even pro teams and traveled all over the country to rural America to raise money for the society, but also to sort of spread the word.
Yeah, I understand that they played Negro League teams as well. So they played everybody.
They did. Anyone that wanted to play, they'd play.
How long did they barnstorm around the country?
For about 30 years. I mean, from the 20s until about the 50s, they continued to play. They eventually even had a basketball team that was sort of a Globetrotters type team. But the baseball team itself traveled around for nearly 30 years.
Things did take somewhat of a darker turn for the House of David when, about the 1920s, with some salacious accusations made against Benjamin Purnell?
Yes. He, in the mid-20s, was accused by upward of 13 women of sexual abuse and just inappropriate behaviors. So that was investigated, and eventually the Attorney General started investigating some of the financial dealings of the society. And in 1927, he was found guilty of fraud. He died a month later, But in the meantime, the society appealed to the Supreme Court to have that overturned. And the conviction was overturned, but it was after Purnell's death.
And what happened to the society after his death?
Once the conviction was overturned and they had their assets back, the society split essentially into two groups. You have the original House of David, which remained in the commune, and then Mary Purnell actually split off and created Mary's City of David up the road. And both societies actually remained pretty successful. They still had the baseball team. That's when the basketball team starts to come in. They still are involved in the community. They still are farming. But eventually, over time, due to some of the beliefs of the group, including no sex, even if you're married, their numbers start to just fall down. But those two individual groups continue for another few years until Mary's death in the early 1950s.
Now, you use the term was and is. So does the House of David still exist in some form today?
There are a few members left, not many. Most of them are still down in Benton Harbor. They still farm. They sell blueberries. They own some properties, so they rent the properties out. So there are still a few members left, but they're nowhere near what they originally were.
But I will imagine that people listening may remember they had the zoo and the amusement park in Benton Harbor, right? Tell us a little about that.
Absolutely. They had this huge sort of entertainment aspect to them. So they had a zoo with a bunch of different animals. They had an amusement park that had a train that was running through it, very much like other small zoos in the state where you can ride a train and see all the different animals. They also had some vacation spots for people to come and just relax in the Benton Harbor area. You know, it's not very far from Chicago.
Right.
And so coming just down and around the lake into Benton Harbor was a very easy trek for people from Chicago. So they really did have a lot of sort of entertaining aspects to them.
Absolutely fascinating. Rachel Clark, Michigan History Center, thank you so much for sharing this really intriguing piece of Michigan history with us.
Thank you.